The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour of the program is live. Booger McFarland joining us. We'll get his take on everything that is going on. Matt Berry a little bit later on. Heather Dinich joined us at the top of the show, breaking the story that the Big Ten will shelve its non-conference games, and if the season goes off as scheduled, and that's a big if, they'll only play conference games. The plan is to play 10 games. We can tell you the SEC has been discussing a 10-game conference-only season for a couple of weeks now, and most would expect all the leagues to follow suit. You talk about some really good games off the board. Just from the Big Ten alone, second week of the season, you had Ohio State and Oregon. It was as eagerly anticipated a game as there was in the preseason. Many other really good games as well, Notre Dame and Wisconsin, just for starters. A lot of really good interconference games, but those are now by the wayside, and now we wait and see what everyone else does, and then we watch and wait over the next couple weeks to see if this virus decides to leave us alone so we can get back to normal life. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Dr. Will is up next in New York. Hello, doctor.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I had a few non-active moments early in the day. I think I heard you on another talk show, and maybe it was a rerun or whatever. But
today on ESPN?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I was on. Yeah, you would have probably seen me.
Okay, so yeah, some very kind of sober thinking and commentary that went on during that period. And to kind of think about this season, if you guys are going to play college football, I look at the Ivy, and yeah, no comparison athletically between the Ivy and the SEC, obviously. But I think that some of the dynamics that led the Ivy to make the decision they made, I think that those dynamics are more relevant to a lot of the other conferences, resources, the cost-benefit relationship, you know, how you do that, fans and all that. I think the mid-majors and there's certainly some Division III schools look a lot more like that than, let's say, the SEC, which if you guys really just determined that you had to resolve to have a season, you could have one just as a standalone conference and put your games on CBS and ABC and kind of dominate the airwaves because it's the SEC. And then in that case, it might just become a matter of resolve in terms of what do you do if and when players start to test positive. But certainly just from a resource perspective, the SEC is a lot different than a lot of the other conferences. And so, yes, some of the conferences are already modifying their schedules, and some of them just will find that, look, this is beyond the safety factor. In some conferences, this is going to simply be probably cost prohibitive to have a football season because of, you know, all of the dynamics and the disparity in resources. And I teach college, and I teach on the ground, and I also teach online. I prefer students to be in class. But looking at all things considered, we haven't had any students in class. I've had to teach online. And so, we have a lot of dynamics and headwinds there. A few callers, I'm not even going to get into the politics of the matter right now, but unfortunately that is part of the equation. And so you have a lot of headwinds in terms of having to start a season and to finish a season. And then it comes down to also, what do you do when people start testing positive, when people say that you're putting athletics above public health and safety? You know, so quite a bit to unpack there.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. So, again, let me update. It's now official. The Big Ten has, at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock Eastern, has released a statement, mostly boilerplate. Conferences don't ever talk about football. They talk about everything. That's just the lingo of collegiate athletics, where they say that the Big Ten announced today that if the conference is able to participate in fall sports, that's women's cross country, field hockey, men and women, soccer, volleyball, so on and so forth, then it will be conference only. While this has been going on, the ACC commissioner, John Swofford, who announced a week ago he's retiring, said that, and Heather Dinich alluded to this, so this should not be a surprise, but he announced that if the league adopts an all-conference schedule, which of course they will, Notre Dame likely will be in the mix. They already have six ACC opponents on the board, so that certainly would make for good television. But here, that is where we are at this hour. We're only an hour into the program. Logan is up next. Hello, Logan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
It's a great show. I really appreciate your last caller. I want to try to keep it non-political again. But I did love the conspiracy call yesterday about the gentleman talking about Dr. Fauci. I'm not even trying to joke. That was great. I mean, I think if people would put that much effort into something real, we may get somewhere. But I guess what I'm calling about today is, like, I guess the writing's on the wall right now. I mean, there's Power Five. That's going to be the only option now for the college football season, from what we can see. After Big Ten coming out today, do you think it's logistically possible for them to rearrange the schedule to play a 9 or 10 conference season in the SEC?
I would tell you with confidence that schedule's already been done. As Commissioner Sankey has said, they've been working on contingencies, Logan, and one of the contingencies was always conference only. In fact, it was the first thing I heard. If there was a problem with an interruption of the season, it's the easiest thing to manage. To play 10 games over 13, 14 weeks is easier to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I have my own opinion about how college football needs to go, and I think that playing more conference games is going to be the way to go. And unfortunately, you know, the non-Power 5 conferences are probably going to get left out, but I think there's a way you can do it going forward that maybe we can maybe include them in a playoff system.
But Logan, I don't mean to be a killjoy here, but I think people are missing what this is really all about. I frankly think the conferences are just using diversionary tactics to get people off the real issue, and that's the fact that the season is slipping away. And listen to this for a second. This is in the Big Ten announcement. If the conference is able to participate in fall sports based on medical advice. I mean, that right there is a legal hangout that we are no longer in control of this decision.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, I'm trying to look on the bright side of it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But I don't want people running around going, man, okay, well, you know, when does Alabama play Florida in this new schedule? What about Michigan and Iowa? I mean, these guys are killing time right now. They're burning time waiting to see which way the wind is blowing. And I'm gonna get Sankey's comment here in a second. Some of you may have missed it. So Logan, hey, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. I don't know if, Dan, if you've got it ready, but this is Greg Sankey late last night.
I want to be optimistic, but the reality is publicly, I mean, we have to discipline ourselves to remain healthy as a culture. And that relates to some of the behaviors we've seen that have caused the spread to accelerate. And I've been optimistic, but I'm prepared that optimism is not reality. And what I'm concerned about is that reality has been changing and has caused me to not be as optimistic as I may have been 30 days ago. But throughout it all, we've been preparing and planning and thinking about what pivots we may have to make. And those are the important decisions over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks that are going to be in front of us, given what's happening in the public health domain.
There you go. We'll take a break. Booger McFarland joining us shortly, including your phone calls the rest of the way at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So we welcome you back. A lot of news out there today. Big Ten officially announcing it will only play conference games. Nicole Arbeck of The Athletic reporting that the Pac-12 will not be far behind. That would knock out Alabama SC in the opener, probably the biggest win Clay Helton's ever had. Booger McFarland joining us on the program from ESPN. It's been too long. Booger, good afternoon.
What's going on, Paul? How we doing, buddy?
Just, I mean, I feel like a squirrel chasing, being chased by the neighborhood dog, trying to follow all the college football news today. It's endless and it's all bad.
Well, and I think it's going to get worse, to be honest with you, Paul. I think the powers to be are going to try to do everything from a perception standpoint they can to play, because there's a lot of money involved. But I've said this for the last couple of months, Paul. Ultimately, here's what we get down to. You know, you hear all these schools talking about we're only going to allow 10,000 fans. Alabama says we're going to allow, you know, 15,000 fans. And they're doing that because the CDC tells us that in order to be as safe as possible, we must socially distance from each other. But we're going to put 125 players and staff members on a field, and we're going to tell them to play a football game. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's never made sense. And I think overall, a lot of people are starting to take a look at it now and see that it's just not going to be smart. And at some point, they're going to try to do it because there's a lot of money involved, and they're going to try to put on a good face and say, hey, let's go ahead and do the season, because economically they don't want to, you know, ban sports or get rid of sports the way Stanford did, having to get rid of 11 sports. But in the end, Paul, I don't think there's any way that you can honestly say that we're doing everything we can do to keep the kids, the older coaches safe if we go out and play football.
So, I mean, I know you've just kind of, you've said it, but forgetting whether we have it or not, do you think we should have a college football season? Based on where,
Paul,
we are.
That's all going to be dependent upon your risk. And it's kind of like, what, you know, the way I live my life every day, because my wife, she doesn't want to leave the house. And, you know, as I tell her, I say, sweetheart, you know, I don't want to just exist. I want to live. And I think that's the approach a lot of people are taking around the country. And I think ultimately, you know, we can try, and we're going to try, just like the NBA is trying. Major League Soccer is trying. Baseball is going to try. But I think when you get to a point, if safety is paramount and minimizing loss of life is at the front and center, how can you honestly say that we should play right now? And I think that's the thing that, you know, there's a balancing act, because you got so many of these ADs and so many of these commissioners, they have to balance the economic impact with the actual impact that it's having from a life standpoint day in and day out. Like, the safest thing to do, Paul, is just to say, you know what, we're not playing any sports until 2021. Now, by the time we get to 2021, some schools may not have anything but football and basketball. You know, some corporate companies may not have but half the employees they had. That's the chance that a lot of people are willing to take, just because they don't want to get in a situation where we lose any more unnecessary lives than we have to.
I want to talk about that, because a lot of people do want to live life, and I think we all do. But It's a real challenge, Booger. And I mean, you've been a guy who's played the game at the highest level, where there was risk on every play. You've been at the highest level of broadcasting. How do we square this? I know that's more of a philosophical question, but it is so different to every person out there, and I think that's why we're all struggling through this.
Well, most people in America, Paul, hate to make decisions. We want someone to make decisions for us. We want someone to tell us what to do, and then we'll either go and do it, or we'll complain about what that person told us to do. That's kind of how America is built. There are very few leaders in this country, very few people that will take charge and are willing to deal with the consequences for the decisions that they make. And I think that's a problem with this country right now. You know, you have people in charge, commissioners and ADs, that ultimately are determining the economic and the social fate for thousands of people. And, you know, everyone says time is on our side, and they're trying to push the decisions back as far as they can. But at some point, you're paid a lot of money to make decisions such as the one that they're going to have to make in all these different sports. Do we play or do we not play? And, you know, hopefully they make the right decisions. I know the safest decision is to not play, and let's just do it again in 2021 and we'll figure it out. That's the safest thing. But I think people in this country have shown us that in order for them to be safe, they would rather risk that than to risk losing the money that we've lost over the last 4 months. And so I think people are willing to take the risk. But I know, you know, and I think everyone out there knows what the safest thing to do, which is to can the sports, come back in 2021, hopefully we have a vaccine, and let's try to pick up then. But you know and I know that's not going to happen.
Let me ask you, you're also a father, and you know, you certainly understand and know what it's like to go out and play college football. As a parent, you know a lot of the parents of these players. What are they going through right now, and what are they thinking about these next few weeks?
A lot of uncertainty. They don't know. You know, Paul, when your kid is being recruited, there's a coach that's going to show up at your house, and he's going to tell you everything about how he's going to take care of your kid, and he's going to put him in the best position to be the best young man that he can be, both academically and athletically. And we're going to look out for young Johnny when he comes to our university. We're going to make sure that he does exactly what he's supposed to do and that he's as safe as possible. And as a parent, you feel really good based on the choice that your kid makes. And now we're in a situation where Ed Orgeron, Nick Saban, Ryan Day, like, these coaches cannot guarantee safety. I mean, Clemson has had, what, 50 people test positive up there. LSU had half the team, it seemed like, tested positive. So, like, you're going to continue to get people that are going to test positive over and over. And as a parent, here's the thing that I know. If it's not safe for my kid to go to school and sit in a classroom, if it's not safe for the fans to come in the stadium and sit and watch the game, then how the hell can it be safe for my kid to be out there on the field practicing the antithesis of social distancing, which is football? Like, that's the one thing that would be in my head. You're going to tell me that for 24 hours a day, we have to social distance and wear a mask and wash our hands. But, hey, on Saturday at 3:30 when CBS, when Gary Danielson and
Brad
Gary and Brad Nessler kick off? Guess
you
what?
Wanted to say Vern,
it's
didn't
time
you?
To play football. Oh, Paul, I wanted to say Vern so bad.
I did too.
Oh, but that's what we got to deal with, man. As a parent, that would be the conundrum that I would be dealing with. Like, I would be racking my brain at night. If kids can't go sit in classrooms and fans can't go sit in stands, then how is it safe for my kid to go play football?
No, it's a fair and listen. I know you don't. None of us fault the effort. I mean, and you know, every one of these guys. What else are these commissioners supposed to do? I mean, they have to figure out a way. But it's becoming more difficult.
Paul, here's the better question. I haven't watched the show on television in a while. I listened to it on the radio. What's our hair situation like right now? There was a point early in the quarantine where you had more hair than I'd ever had in my life.
No, yeah, no, we did a show one day. I think it was Get Up, and my hair. I mean, I was starting to look like outside of the age and the lines. I mean, I was the 16-year-old Paul Feinbaum rocker.
Paul, I'm just curious, man. Have we got the wife that's kind of trimmed it behind the ears?
Oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah. I'm looking normal again. I've got not quite the Marine haircut, but somewhere between that and my first day at kids camp.
Paul, here's a better question, because I just saw that the Big Ten is going to play a conference only schedule
Right.
Do you think that ultimately, because I know Greg Sankey likes to be a leader, he likes to be out front, he likes to lead the way because it just means more in the SEC, but do you think that Greg Sankey is going to follow suit and that the SEC is going to play a conference-only schedule?
He may not. Right now, I mean, since we've been talking, Booger, the Big Ten has announced it. There's a report that the Pac-12 and the ACC – So unless he and Bob Bowlesby want to play each other, they're out of options.
Yeah, well, I mean, at some point, Paul, they're going to have to come to their senses and say, okay, we can cut out non-conference games, we can cut out fans out of the stands, but at some point, if we're going to put these kids on the field and we're going to make them play football, then ultimately we have to ask ourselves, why are we cutting all these things out? Like, why are we cutting out USC versus Alabama? Why potentially are we cutting out Texas at LSU? Because it's not safe. We're trying to talk ourselves into, hey, if we play a conference-only schedule, it can be safer. What the hell is going to be the difference if USC and Alabama play than if LSU goes to Texas? I mean, Texas goes to LSU. What's the difference? It's still 125 people on each sideline. It's still 22 people on the field playing football. But because it's a non-conference game, it's going to be a little bit less safe than the conference-only games. Like, come on, man.
Well, you know, I think they're wrong because, if Alabama played USC, there'd be more contact in that game for Alabama than any game all year.
Well, you know what? Based on what happened toward the end of last season, I think Nick Saban wants to play every game he can because I think they, you know, because Alabama's got a lot to prove, especially especially what happened down the stretch. So I hope the season goes off as normal as possible. I doubt it will. I think at some point it's going to get interrupted if it even does start at all. And I think in the end, as a football fan, we have to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, if we go another 9 months without football and we can minimize the loss of life, then you know what? Great job. We can deal with life without football. We got to stop being selfish in this country until it hits home. And you talk to the people that have lost loved ones because of COVID-19, and they'll tell you it's not worth it. But we're selfish because a lot of people that listen to you on the radio or me on TV, they haven't been impacted directly. So it's like, you know, to some, COVID-19 is a myth. We see the numbers on TV. We see the specials daily. But until it hits home, it's kind of like that unknown out there. Hopefully it doesn't affect as many people. But, you know, this thing is here to stay for a while, at least until we get a vaccine. And I think even though sports is a huge part of our life, hopefully we can make the right decisions, especially as it pertains to our young people, kids that are 17 to 20 years old who are really playing amateur athletics, even though it's a billion-dollar business. Professionals, it's going to be a little bit different. But the amateur athletes of the NC2A, you know, you and I both know that they're a joke. Hopefully the ADs and the commissioners will make the right decisions for these young kids.
Booger, I don't know what your plans are. I don't read the TV sports blogs anymore, but have you considered running for president? I would vote for you.
You know what, Paul? I'm really not into politics, although as much golf as the president plays, I think he could convince me.
He plays more than you.
Hey, if you told me that I could play as much golf as our current president, I wouldn't care what the politics were. I would line up and go play golf and definitely run for president.
I've got some friends in Washington. We'll start getting you ready for 2024.
I love it, my friend.
Hey, great to have you on, Booger. Thank you so much.
Later, Paul.
What an amazing conversation that was. That was fun. You may not like everything he said, but you have to appreciate the person saying it. We'll take a short break. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back. Great to have everyone here, and more phone calls at 855-242-7285. There is certainly a lot happening out there, a lot of news. The news to the last 24 hours has been virtually endless. J.D. is up next from Huntsville, Alabama. Hello, J.D.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. You know, when I was listening to Booger say that, you know, it's just not safe to play football, I had to laugh for a second. I'm like, man, it's never been safe to play football. You talk to any brain expert, and they'll tell you, my goodness, the football is never going to be safe. This is going to sound pretty insane, and you may say, oh, J.D., what are you talking about? But you just go through the numbers. The month of April, I think there was the death rate was about 6.5% of the people contracted it. May, it fell to 5.6. The month of June, 2.6% of the death rate. Which is what's happening is more people are getting this virus, more younger people are getting it. I think we overreact a lot of times. If you're going to overreact, this would be something to overreact to because people do die from this. I think if there's kids in classes, there's going to be football. If there ain't kids on campus, then there won't be football. What do you think?
Well, I think you're pretty accurate there. And the Ivy League decided they're not bringing students back, so they made their decision. That's the issue. This is college we're talking about. This is not the NFL. Hey, thanks for the call. Jim is up next.
The artful dodger. I think I called you that about 8 or 9 years ago. You haven't even been artful about it, Paul. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I commend fully and wholeheartedly what McFarland said. I know it took a little courage for him to stand out and do it just similar to what Herb Street did in even a more bolder way. Are you there?
Of course I'm here, yes.
I saw the phone flash. That's why I didn't know what was going on. But anyway, here's what I'm trying to say, Paul. You know McFarland is exactly right. It would take a fool to okay football at this point. Like he said, it would be selfish, irresponsible beyond belief. One person died, the blood would be on anybody's hands that promoted playing football or any other sport until they clear it out and know that it's okay to do. I know you're worried. I know the others are panicking, worried about their fragile jobs being on the line. I know that. You know that's a fact. That's it. I'm just telling you.
Hey, hold on 1 second, okay? I'm not worried about my job. That has nothing to do with this conversation.
I didn't mean that. Wait a minute. Let me explain that. I didn't mean your job being lost. I meant how hard it will be for another year
I don't want to interrupt your point.
Well, you just did.
Okay, well, I'm going to get out of your way then.
Okay, then thank you. That's exactly what I meant, though. The fact that you don't have ball, all of you people are panicking because you won't have ball to talk about. There are jobs on the line. I'm not saying yours, but there are many jobs on the line, I'm sure. Some of the lesser people, not like you, that have a solid contract, will lose their job probably. But there's all kind of reasons. But you know, and I know, and everybody but a fool knows, football would be an irresponsible, it would be just stupid. It'd be crazy. And I've told you that before. You know that. I've told you a couple of times. And again, on Sankey, you want me to break that down? You took about 5 minutes of drama to try to make something out of him. He basically said there's no way we can play football. 99%. 99.9% is what he said, that with a percentage point left to okay football, and that's exactly what he said in his statement about the reality. The reality is not what, you know, that's what he said. That's what he meant. You know that. It's not rocket science, Paul.
No, I didn't want to say, I agree. I mean, he certainly painted a bleak picture. And I want to just say, if I could, one more thing. I would love to see the college football season because, yeah, you're right. A lot of people are going to be hurt as a result. And that does bother me and impact me and depress me to think about.
May I interrupt there?
Sure.
But back to what McFarland said and back to reality. I understand completely your point of view there. I understand your heartfelt care about that situation. But would it not be worse if by saving some jobs and getting people to see football and have football, sparing about 10 lives or maybe even just one life?
No, I agree. Listen, Jim, we are in the same boat here, and I think you have me a little bit confused with others. I'm asking these questions every day. No, I don't want to see one person die that doesn't need to die.
The answer should be, yeah, it's worth losing some people's desire to have football and the things that might be hard on y'all or a lot of people not to have it. The financial aspect, many other aspects that you're worried about.
But this is not just about us having jobs. I mean, college football is a multi-billion-dollar industry in this country. And, you know, but hey, I know right now, I as a talk show host, I think one way. But I know as a college president, I would be extremely careful to put anyone at risk because...
I'll ask you now then, would you risk your whatever... Your reputation, I don't know the right word.
Okay, well, Jim.
Okay, in football as a commissioner right now.
I couldn't sign off on it today. No.
Then thank you for at least being honest about it. But you know, Paul, you know, there's no way as of now. It looks like there's no way, and no safe way without endangering and probably probably costing many lives.
Well, but Jim, that's why I think you heard Sankey talk about the reality, and the reality is, you know, people can give us death rates all they want, and people can go after those who talk about safety, call them names or acronyms, but the point is, this thing's out of control right now. And
that's right.
I
mean,
I saw something in some publication today that's talking about Alabama, where you live.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Alabama, if you rank the countries in the world, and Alabama would rank as the eighth worst country in the world right now in terms of the rise of this virus.
Well, let me add something to that on what you just said. I went to the gas station, going to the grocery store about 3 hours ago. A lady pulls up, young lady, has on a mask. Three or four of her kids jump out of the car with no mask. Well, I told her, I said, please, lady, make your kids back away from right here. They were walking around the pup right in front of me, and I didn't want them near me with a mask or no mask. And she did that. But my point to you about that is this. Paul, I would lay Danny Sheridan odds that 10% of Alabama is not wearing a mask. And I can tell you why the young people under 30 or 40 are not doing it. They are macho. To them, the attitude is, I ain't worried about no foot virus. I ain't going to be no wussy pussy. I'm not wearing no damn mask. That's their attitude. And I see it every day in the stores. All these guys walk around just nonchalant. Makes me mad because they're in front of my face. But many women and guys all over Alabama are not even think about wearing no mask. And there you have it.
And that's why the numbers keep flying up.
Exactly. But that's also why you can't risk football. And they can't have masks on playing football anyway.
No, I totally agree with you on that.
Thank you for listening, Paul.
Thank you. Again, and part of the problem is what I'm about to read. And I'm really getting at, I mean, just, you know, these athletic directors are driving me crazy. Gene Smith, the Ohio State athletic director, just said he's cautiously optimistic. I mean, explain that. What does that mean? Just say, we'll see. I mean, cautiously optimistic, I don't know what that means. But anyway, I mean, no, none of these guys are optimistic, I'm telling you. That is pretty obvious. And they're just feeding the beast. We're just speaking the truth here. The season is in great danger. We can obsess over whether the Big Ten's playing this or that. I mean, that stuff is all trivial at the moment. maybe it'll change. That's why they're not making a decision yet. But if they had to make a decision today, they wouldn't have a season. We'll take a short break. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We'll give you an update at the top of the hour on everything that has changed since we last talked to you. And there's a lot. It's been another breakneck day in college football. Let's get back to the calls and talk to Coach in Tennessee. Hello, Coach.
Paul, how have you been?
I'm well. Thank you. Hope you are.
I am. Thank you very much. Just been recovering from a little tornado damage, but other than that, everything's going well. So, that's okay. Listened to Booger, and I totally agree with that. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, too, about the athletic directors, you know, being, you know, the statements they're putting out. And my question, I guess, to you is, you know, there is a lot of problems in playing in the spring, but do you think the SEC would go to 10 games if it went to conference only in the spring and played in the spring?
I've heard the plan for the fall and the spring is 10 games. So, I think that's, hard to figure out, Coach, what that means. In the spring it makes more sense in the fall. But, I think they have a model for both. And by the way, when they say spring, that depends on a million things. But I cannot imagine that we're not in significantly better shape in March than we are right now.
Oh, I agree, and I think we've got to kind of make adjustments based on what the virus is doing. I just don't think we can just say we're going to do this. You know, it'd be like saying we're going to start this season in September, knowing that's very unlikely. I'd rather play a conference only schedule in February or March and have all the fans back than playing a conference only schedule in September when the virus is still running.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't think fans quite understand. Fans aren't going to games this season.
No.
I feel pretty comfortable saying that. There's too many complications. And I've even heard that they're not going to even if they do have games, they're not letting people congregate.
No, I just don't see that happening at all. So, I was wondering about the SEC if they had maybe a.
Yeah, I think there's a 10 game model. Those are fairly simple to do, but the complication. I've heard from about a month now that the first part of the season was the most difficult because it forces a decision about right now, and they can't make a decision right now.
True. And I've heard the NFL issue too about, players, what might happen is players don't play because of the NFL draft will probably not be moved, and they're going to keep it probably in April, no matter when the college season happens.
Exactly. And the NFL
does not want the high level players playing anyway.
NFL coach, they don't know whether they can get their season in. They've already cut out the preseason. They're not going to play preseason games.
Right.
They're going to do everything they can. The one thing nobody counted on, except maybe the epidemiologists, was what is happening right now. But, it's pretty easy to understand why we're in the shape we're in. That's common sense.
You live with a doctor. The answer, I don't think your wife is saying, oh, there's going to be college football.
No, she's been thinking it was ridiculous for months, but I try to ignore that as I go to work.
Well, it's been good talking
to you. We sell hope on this show, Coach. We don't sell doom and gloom.
That's true.
Well, if we had come on this program on March 13th and said, hey, there's not going to be a college football season, I would have been talking to myself the next 4 months.
Oh, I know. Well, I hope there is one. I hope it's more in the spring, though, to be honest. So,
I think a lot of this is conditioning people. Don't hit them over the head like they did in March. Let's announce we're having conference only. Then you take a few games off the board. You know, SC in Alabama. You know, Tennessee, Oklahoma's off the board, and then you deal with reality in about 3 weeks. We're back with more.